From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. It's a great show today because I have a very special guest joining me at the top of the show, plus 116 laws that were passed by the Nebraska legislature this year went into effect this past week. I'm going to highlight the important ones that you need to know about. Plus, the Nebraska Supreme Court will also be hearing a major case this week at the state capitol on Tuesday when the White Clay beer stores will make their appeal to the Supreme Court to continue to be allowed to sell alcohol in White Clay after they had their licenses revoked by the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. I'll keep you updated on that story. But first, what everyone is talking about this week, of course, college football. And my guest today knows a thing or two about college football, but also, more importantly, about spiritual leadership. And that's where I want to start the show, because college football is finally back this week, and the Huskers have their first game of the year on Saturday. So I am thrilled to have joining me on the program today, Graham Nabity, a former Husker football player, with a story that's about much more than football, and that's the subject of his new book, Walk On to Glory, A Nebraska Football Player's Journey. Graham, it's great to have you on the show today.
Hey, Nate, I appreciate you having me.
Well, first, a fun fact for our listeners. Graham and I used to run around on the same soccer and baseball fields over 15, almost 20 years ago when we were first starting out playing sports, and now here we are talking on the radio all these years later, and I couldn't help but smile when I remember that. But those fields quickly turned into Memorial Stadium for you, Graham, playing in 36 games for the Huskers between 2012 and 2016. Would you ever have imagined when you first walked onto the Husker football team that after your time there, someone would write a book about you and your journey?
I'm truly humbled by it. And like you said, I never would have thought that this would happen. And it just truly shows it's a God thing. It's not something that I could have thought of or planned out. It's really all God.
And so this book about your time at Nebraska, Walk On to Glory, it's really not a football book. It's about something much more than that, about perseverance and ultimately bringing glory to God. And I know that's something you were able to do. The World Herald actually even ran a story about you had about how you had really become the spiritual leader for the team. What was that like for you to step into that role and be the spiritual leader for the entire Husker football team?
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. Bringing you back as the first couple of days coming into Nebraska and what my goals were, it was really to make God known, and I had ideas and thoughts of that being done by becoming the next Rex Burkhead. I really looked up to him and was able to have one season with him in a summer season as well. He's a great Christian man, and he got me plugged in with Christ Place Church in Lincoln. Pastor Rick's got a really good deal going on there. And but yeah, I came in with big expectations to be the next running back and to make his name known. And, you know, it was a really tough deal, and you know, those were my goals. And coming from being the guy at Elkhorn, then coming to Nebraska as a nobody, running scout team, not seeing the field, it was a really tough time. And it's truly pretty remarkable that God still, with this expectation that I had, was able to use it just in a different way. And here you are 5 years later. It's just like, now here's a book. It's truly something that, you know, only God could really have created.
Right. And so the Husker football walk-on program is such a historic and important part of Husker football. What was that like for you to not only become a part of that, but actually work your way up from walk-on to ultimately earning a scholarship?
Yeah, I mean, it was a battle. And I mean, those walk-on guys, I don't care what anybody thinks, but man, there's just tough guys just willing to go the extra mile. A lot of times having to put in almost maybe double the work. I mean, the chances we get, you know, we have to maximize, and it's a pretty cool culture, and there is a lot of respect. coming in, I would have thought that people would kind of give us crap about these walk-ons. But even the guys on the team, I mean, we all look at each other as the same. And really, at times, it's really the walk-ons that have kept the team going and staying strong and alive. And so just that culture and being able to be in a Shrine Bowl and playing with a lot of the upcoming walk-ons in my class, guys like Sam Fultz and Jordan Allison, Riker Five, Brad Simpson. I mean, there's just a bunch of them that I was able to have a little teaser game with the Shrine Bowl where we really got to grow as brothers before we came into the Nebraska program. And as Sam Fultz always said, we had this walk-on goggles on or whatever the case was, that we just had this walk-on vision and just coming into Nebraska really to wreak some havoc and get going on the field.
And we all, of course, remember the tragic passing of Sam Fultz last year, and no one is ever prepared for something like that to happen. And, Graham, you were actually chosen and looked to. You spoke and read scripture at the memorial service for Sam. How were you able to help the team through such an unimaginably difficult time when that was something that was so difficult for you as well?
Yeah, I remember when I first heard, and I was actually in the car with Bo Kittrell, another walk-on who's playing some tight end this year, headed to some friends just in West Nebraska, and got the phone call, and just one of those things, like, you're just like, wait, what'd you say? And had a conversation, said goodbye to whoever shared it with me, and sat in the car for like 5-10 minutes, still like, you know, in shock, not really knowing, wait, is this actually happen? But man, it's truly another God thing to be able to be used in that time there. And I think that this time, in a way, as just battling with my brothers and continuing on being consistent with my walk with the Lord and my desire for my brothers on the team to, you know, one day be able to be sons of God as well, that these guys kind of saw that. And really coming into this year, that spiritual leader type deal, it was just something that God's been giving me, and it was something that I had to really step up to once Coach Brown had to leave the Nebraska program, and we didn't really have a team chaplain either at that time. And it was just a step that, you know, I just happened to be in, and being to God's will, I just kept saying yes, even when the flesh was saying no, because it's not always comfortable to be up there and speaking and public speaking in general, but just to take a leadership role, it definitely takes some boldness and obedience to Christ, and it was just a process. And when that happened, there really wasn't much to be thought of. It was just like, yeah, we're doing this. And Kyron Williams really had the idea of doing the vigil, so there's some props to him. But when it was all going on, we were able to do some worship and just a good time of prayer at the vigil at the stadium. And then, like you said, at the funeral, Sam's parents wanted me to read some scripture, and, you know, I was super blessed by that. It's just one of those things that as you continue to be obedient to God, it's just what's next. You just kind of handle it.
Graham, I know your time on the Husker football team was really about much more than just winning football games. When did you realize that you were there for a bigger purpose than just football?
You know, I think I found that out pretty quick as I started to realize, you know what, I'm not changing on this depth chart. Like, what the heck's going on? I feel like as a running back, I'm getting better and everything. And yes, I was able to see the field and earn a scholarship through special teams as I was able to start on that for 3 years and play in those games that you mentioned earlier. But man, it was just a consistent time of, I'm just so competitive, and if I'm not progressing, I'm going to transfer, I'm going to go somewhere else. But God kept giving me just the direction of staying, and he didn't give me a piece to leave, and so I continued to stay and fight. But it was that day one I came to Nebraska to make his name known, and as it wasn't the way that I wanted to go, you know, I still had to bite my tongue because I was again reminded by my strong conviction of why I came to Nebraska. And I felt like that was the best way to make God known through my football career.
And Graham, I would imagine it's not always, well, it's never always easy to share the gospel and make God known, but I would especially imagine on a major college football team with, you know, 75 collegiate athletes, and there's good guys and pockets of believers everywhere, but I would imagine that most of the time, a lot of those guys probably weren't interested or didn't really care what you know, what the Bible has to say about certain things. So how did you go about making sure that that you were really representing Christ on the football team and to the rest of your teammates?
Yeah, Nate, you know, we live in a world that we're worshiping our bodies, and it's what the flesh wants, and it's instant gratification and what can I get right now. And so that was exactly the culture of the team. And, you know, it's something that I struggle myself. I mean, it's every single day that you have to say no to the flesh and yes to God and yes to the Spirit. And so, yeah, I mean, it was not by any means a Christian atmosphere in the locker room. You got all kinds of different cultures, and the team in itself, by no means would you say there's atheists and guys who just were against God. Really, the majority of the team, everybody believed that there was a God, and you'd get the Christians that they would call themselves, that they would pray before the game but wouldn't pray after the game. They would pray to get on the field, and all this self-gain, when really it's just twisted that way. It's all about the flesh and how can my life get better. So, yeah, I'll pray to God so my life can get better. So, you know, it's just a tough time, and anytime you're stepping out of your little Christian bubble, you're going to be facing even more trials at times, and I think the devil can speak pretty loudly by the people that you're surrounded with and where they're going in their direction. And so it was just a constant battle, and again, saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit and continually being a light. But the hardest part for me, you could put me in any situation with these types of people and I feel like I'd be fine, but it was just that competitive that nature that I had, that the fact that I was not progressing and that coach wasn't choosing me, that was my hardest part, where I just would really fleshly like to turn super bitter and not talk to anybody and just be a complete, you know what I mean, just not a good guy, let's just say that. So that was one of my bigger struggles, is me being circumstance-based and not circumstance-free, and we actually have a chapter in the book about that.
And, Graham, I saw that Husker head coach Mike Riley actually wrote the foreword for your book, Walk On to Glory, and in it he has some very nice things to say about you. How did it feel seeing what he wrote about you and the noticeable impact you had on him and the entire team, both through your work on and off the field?
Yeah, Mike Riley and I, we have a good relationship. I'm super thankful to have him as a coach, and really all the coaches that I've come across. You know, there's so much you can learn from each person. And yeah, him and I, we've had a good relationship. He's seen me and really respected what I was doing. And he's a believer himself. It's kind of funny. The first day these coaches came in, hear me being bold and, I guess, obedient to what God was wanting me to do, I went ahead and invited all the coaches after the first introduction that I had with them, and when I got to actually meet them. And so it turns out Coach Mike Riley ended up going to the church that I invited him to. I guess if you listen earlier to the radio, I was just, in a way, able to grow in a relationship, and these coaches understand it's more than football. And Coach Riley is a guy that understands that. And so we just had a different relationship that I would say than maybe he had with the other players on the team, knowing that really I'm here for football, but really I'm here for something greater than that. And so Coach Riley and I were able to share that, and he allowed me to freely go about and just target the team and love the team the way they needed to be loved, and reach that. And I've had a lot of help with Robbie Tramp. He really heads the SCA for the collegiate at Lincoln, Nebraska, for all the Huskers. He's a tremendous guy, and just the FCA program is just a great program, and so he also was a huge contributing factor and one of my greatest mentors through college sports.
Graham, you've now gotten to speak and share your journey to different groups and people at different times. What's the main message that you take with you when you go to speak?
Man, it's, you know, sometimes it changes, but it's, for me, in my testimony, really my verse is Galatians 2:20, and it's, for no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the life I live now in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So really the only good you see in me, Nate, and what others see, it's all because of Jesus living within me. And the more I choose him over myself, the better things become, not only for myself, but for the people that are around me. And it's completely 100% all glory to God. And along with that message is inviting the non-believer, the person who may say they are a Christian but truly hasn't given their life to the Lord and allowed him to be number one, with this message that I'm going about sharing with my experience at Nebraska, is to get the other guys on the same team, really on God's team. And so, it's a mix of both, and just truly sharing God's glory and how, and it is really the only good news in this world. There's so much crap going on in this world, and everybody's tired of hearing about it. And I just think we need to be sharing more about the true good news, and that's that Jesus died and lived a perfect life and rose, did all this all for us, even if we weren't even going to accept it. That's just the kind of love he had, and he would do it all for one person all over again.
It's encouraging to me, and I know it has been to many others, seeing the difference one person who isn't afraid to speak about and live out their faith can make wherever God places them. So I would encourage everyone to check out A Walk On to Glory, a Nebraska football player's journey. Thank you, Graham, for being on the show today. You have an incredible message, and I really appreciate you sharing it.
Hey, Nate, it's great to be here, and always good talking to you, man. It's pretty wild. It just seems like a couple years ago we were out on that playground playing tag, and yeah, I mean, those are good times, so, man, I'm super excited to see what God has.
Good times. A lot has changed, and good to have Graham on the show today. And if you want to learn more about Graham's story or what it's like to walk onto the Huskers or to be a witness for Christ to a college football team, his new book, A Walk Onto Glory, A Husker Football Player's Journey, is available for purchase on Amazon. Now, I'm excited to report today that school teachers in Nebraska have more religious freedom today and every day moving forward than they did a week ago. And that is thanks to a bill that went into effect last Thursday that was passed by the Nebraska legislature earlier this year and signed into law by Governor Ricketts that repeals a nearly 100-year-old statute that places an outright ban or prohibition on any and all religious dress or garb. And this was an essential step towards restoring the First Amendment rights of our great public school teachers. At one point, 36 states had laws that were banning religious clothing by teachers. This was a measure that was actually originally supported by the KKK because it was seen as an anti-Catholic measure and was used to prevent nuns from being able to teach in the classroom. And actually, that is what happened here in Nebraska as recently as 2 years ago when Sister Madeline was denied a teaching position in a Norfolk public school because she wears a habit, and the school administrators knew about this law, and so she was denied a teaching position even though she was qualified and they needed more teachers. And so before this law was repealed, Pennsylvania and Nebraska were the only states left where that type of law remained in effect. And actually in Pennsylvania, a Christian educator who was employed by the public school system there was barred from teaching for simply wearing a cross necklace. So that's how this law could be and was being applied. And thankfully, the Nebraska legislature did the right thing this year, voting to repeal that law on a vote of 39-5 in March of this year. Senator Scheer, who is the speaker of the legislature, actually introduced that bill. And that's a good thing, because we don't want good teachers to be discriminated against because of their faith, whether they are Christian, Catholic, Jewish, or otherwise. No one should have their job or their livelihood threatened because of their peacefully expressed beliefs. The right to live and work according to one's beliefs is a critical component to any free society. And whether one is religious or not, religious freedom protects every citizen because it assures them that the government is not the gatekeeper of their conscience. And it's rare to get a victory in favor of religious freedom in today's day and age. So this was great to see from the Nebraska legislature making a proactive step to do away with an outdated law that was restricting and infringing the First Amendment rights of our public school teachers. And this was actually just one of seven bills supported this year by the Nebraska Family Alliance that passed in the legislature. And that really made for a historic year. It's much easier to stop a bad bill than it is to pass a good bill. And so to have seven bills supported by the Nebraska Family Alliance pass into law is a great sign and a good thing for Nebraska. And again, it was a historic year because we also passed the first pro-life bill in more than 5 years. And that was a bill to create a specialty pro-life license plate with a positive message about life. And those specialty plates will be available at the beginning of next year. And so you'll be able to take a pro-life message with you everywhere you travel on an official Nebraska specialty license plate. And believe it or not, that bill, just to get a specialty license plate that says "Choose Life," required the legislature to overcome five filibusters led by Senator Ernie Chambers. And that's been the attitude and the temperature down at the legislature to get any type of pro-life legislation, even if it's just a license plate. And there was also a big victory for the ongoing efforts to combat human trafficking in Nebraska, thanks to LB 289, also going into effect this past week. This was a bill that really significantly, but also very appropriately, increased and created harsher penalties for human traffickers as well as buyers who are buying these women. And essentially, before this law, a lot of the crimes involving trafficking carried no minimum penalty. So oftentimes traffickers or buyers could plead down to probation or really just a small slap on the wrist. And so getting harsher penalties was the next essential step towards ending trafficking in Nebraska. And that was a bill that received overwhelming support, and rightfully so. And lastly, I mentioned White Clay at the beginning of the show. White Clay, Nebraska, the unincorporated village of 8 official residents that has 4 liquor stores selling 3.5 million cans of beer every year. There was a bill that has already gone into effect that created a special task force to look at the ongoing situation in White Clay to come up with some solutions and help stimulate economic growth and get people jobs and try to improve the situation there. And right now, the liquor stores in White Clay are closed. They had their liquor licenses revoked by the Nebraska legislature over concerns of lack of adequate law enforcement, as well as health and poor health and safety conditions in White Clay. And this whole issue has really reached a tipping point. And this week at the Nebraska Capitol will really be the case that has been really building and building for years. And now the Nebraska Supreme Court will finally have the opportunity to rule on whether or not those liquor stores should be allowed to sell alcohol in White Clay. For all the social ills that go on in White Clay, from the fetal alcohol syndrome to physical violence and assault and public drunkenness, the Nebraska Supreme Court will really be focusing on technical legal issues about process and jurisdiction, and whether or not the Liquor Control Commission had the authority to revoke those licenses. This is an important issue. This is really a life issue, and it's been clear that continuing to do nothing just wasn't an option in White Clay. So I'll keep you updated on that case as it moves forward. If you would like more information on that issue or about the bills that were supported by Nebraska Family Alliance and took effect, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'll be back next week, and thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.